Welcome to the Rosie on the House Arizona Hour, driven by Sanderson Ford.
Your weekend wake-up tradition.
It's Rosie on the House.
And a beautiful Arizona Saturday morning to you all.
Good morning.
Morning.
I wonder if it was this pretty 147 years ago in the White Mountains when Apache by the name of Chief Alchuse joined the Indian Scouts at Camp Verde, 1872. Later becomes Sergeant William Alchuse. He was the last hereditary chief of the White Mountain Apache people. He would go on to participate in General George Crook's winter campaign of 72 and 73. And served when they went into the Sierra Madres of Mexico hunting for Geronimo. While there, he unsuccessfully tried to convince Geronimo to surrender, as they had been lifelong friends. He was the first White Mountain Apache scout to receive the Medal of Honor. As an influential tribal leader, he would go on to have sit-downs with Grover Cleveland, Teddy Roosevelt, and Warren Harding. In the early 1900s, Reverend Edgar Gunther first came to Fort Apache as a Lutheran missionary. And he avoided Alchuse because he didn't want to instill any conflict. A flu epidemic hit in the 1819, and the Apache people scattered far and wide to avoid contamination. Believing he was dying, Alchuse went into the mountains to be alone and pass away. Reverend Gunther and his helper would ride around looking for campfires, and they would ride up and help the sick people in every way they could. And the remedy sounded almost as bad as the illnesses themselves, according to the White Mountain Independent, that's been publishing since 1888. And this is how they came across Alchuse, who was lying on the ground. They put tar paper under his bed of grass to keep him dry, gave him a dose of Epsom salt, rubbed him down with skunk oil they rendered themselves. How would you like that job in the 1800s?
That is a bad remedy.
And then left him. He was still alive the next day, so Gunther's wife, Minnie, who made soup by the gallons for flu victims, started taking soup to Alchuse every day, and he survived. And this began a lifelong friendship for the rest of his short life at that time. Church was held under a grove of trees, as there was no money for church, and Alchuse one day said, "We have to have a house," and donated the land for the church on April 30th, 1922, at the dedication. They gave Alchuse the key to the front door, and he opened it, and he said, "I put my thumbprint on this church," pointed to the Bible, and looked at his people and say, "You listen to him when he speaks from this book." Alchuse and many of the people were baptized in the Church of the Open Bible. As he lay dying, the chief took out a scarf in which he kept the key to that church. He said, "This key opened God's house for me. This is the key that opened heaven for me. I go." He was buried with this key in his hand in the family cemetery beside a pinyon tree above the cornfields he cultivated. His grave is now marked with an official granite stone engraved in gold. This is the source for the name of Alchuse High School in White River, just a few miles south of Pine Top, Alchuse Flats, just north of White River, a little settlement, and the lake on the south side of Highway 260, a few miles east before you turn south if you're going to Sunrise Ski Resort, is named after the tag number given to him by the military, A1. Just one of the notable people of the White Mountain area. Our staycation destination this month, Pine Top Lakeside, and our winners next week will have their choice of two great events. They can either go to the White Mountain UTV Jamboree in Eager or ease on into Sholo for the Crawtoberfest event. Boudreaux's cooking that day, so you know the crawfish will be good. And I won't tell you about how much crawfish has come in the last 10 years and how good it's going to be in the processing, because we have way too interesting of a guest here in studio that we need to get to. Kind of a precursor to our water month coming up in October.
That's right. We love topic of water. I think everybody in Arizona has a special interest in that. And so when we're thinking about topics, we look for different things that are going on. And I happened to come across a story about a new product called Zero Mass Water, and their source hydro panels. And so I started doing some research, reached out, and I found Miss Caitlin Fitzgerald. She's the director of brand for Zero Mass Water. Good morning. Thanks for joining us this morning, Caitlin.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so I just kind of wanted to tell whoever hasn't heard of this, I have to say that when I found the article, I think it was about a year ago, first time I'd ever heard of it, and now it's going like crazy. You get to hear new things happen with you guys all the time. And let's first of all explain, what is Zero Mass Water?
Yeah, absolutely. Zero Mass Water is a renewable water company, which is a really new type of company and category for water. So we are based out of Arizona, and our technology, source hydro panels, make water from just sunlight and air. That's all you need.
Now, seriously, tell me how that works.
Well,
I didn't believe it, I have to tell you, in the beginning, but I'm a believer now.
It looks a lot like a solar panel.
Mm-hmm.
It can sit on your roof or your ground, but what it's doing is it's using both solar thermal, so solar heat, and solar energy, so solar electricity, to power a system where we can take in ambient air just around your house, and collect the water molecules from that air into a very special material. Inside the system, we're raising the dew point so that we can passively condense that water out. And it starts very pure. And so we add magnesium and calcium to it inside the hydro panel, and it goes right to your tap. But what you experience, as a homeowner, is perfect water made right at your home and delivered right to a drinking water tap for you and your family to enjoy.
Now, what about all the pollution in the air?
Oh, see, that's what's wonderful about the technology, is that it's leaving anything in the air behind, because that very special material is really only attracted to water molecules.
So, and does it mostly work at night? I guess it works all the time.
You can access the water at any point in the day, but we're making water when the sun is up.
Mm-hmm.
So we're pulling in that air and converting the water molecules into liquid water, all powered by the sun.
And how much water are we talking about? Enough to do what with?
You can drink, you can cook with it. I've got hydro panels at my home, and I make, up to about 600 bottles of water every month for my home. And that is really high quality water. I know exactly what's in it, and it tastes really good too.
Caitlin told me whenever she goes to a party, she brings a little, that's her gift, is, bring food. Caitlin brings the water.
Oh, yeah, that's my potluck item anytime.
And is that what I see here? I haven't gotten any samples yet. I got to try this.
Oh, yes.
I've got pretty good well water myself that I always leave the house with.
Well water is absolutely great, and we always encourage people who are drinking well water, go get your water tested. But also, the water is been curated with a very special mineral recipe so that the water is delicious.
And tell me how you keep that water pure that's in the container. So the collector condenses it and it goes into a container.
Mm-hmm.
And then how do you keep it from getting gunky or whatever?
Yeah, so inside every reservoir, we have an integrated ozonation system. So it's keeping the environment that the water is stored in very, very clean, very pure at any point. And so we also monitor the hydro panels. So we can tell from our network operations center right here in Arizona how the technology is performing, and making sure all those systems are always working for you so that you have complete confidence that the water you're drinking is extremely high quality.
So is this on the market yet?
Oh, absolutely. So we've got installations all across Arizona. You can get it for your home. Anyone can go to our website, put down a deposit. We'll do a virtual site survey with you and get the hydro panels installed so you can have, a truly incredible supply of drinking water made not just from the water beneath the ground or on the ground, but the water in the air all around us.
The story behind this is just as interesting as the product. So whose brainchild was this, and how long has it been around, and what's the long-term plan? It's a big story.
It is. It's an exciting company to be a part of. Dr. Cody Friesen, he's a professor out of Arizona State University. He founded Zero Mass Water, and he has a research group at ASU that spent about 8 years developing the technology before we were founded in 2014. And since then, the company has, like you said earlier, really taken off. We're in more than 30 different countries today. We have installations across the U.S. And it's really neat to see something like this grow, especially because, water issues around the world are becoming more and more severe, and in our own backyards too.
So when you talk about it being in all countries, is that groups of panels? Is that individual homes? What does that look like?
It's a really wide range. You know, we have installations at schools all over the world. We're in homes, hospitals. We're in entire communities as well, because the technology, it's just like a solar panel where, you know, you look at the energy needs and you design your solar array based on energy needs. Well, what we do is we look at water needs, and we can build an entire array of these hydro panels, starting at, you know, two for your home up to many thousands or whatever is needed for the application.
Well, and so, you know, I have a question. Does this affect the atmosphere at all? I mean, if I think you have a pretty grand goal of a hydro panel in every home, right?
Absolutely.
So, and it takes two for a family, I think. Mm-hmm. So could that change the dynamics of the environment at all, or, you know, the atmosphere?
When we first started designing the technology, first and foremost, we knew it had to be renewable. It had to be something that would not take away from our existing water resources that are already so stressed. And so what we found is that there is so much water in the air all around us. It could cover the earth an entire inch of rain, and it replenishes every 10 days. So when you look at how much water a source is making and the rate at which it's taking water from the air, it would take about 70,000 hydro panels for every human being on this earth to begin to impact the water in the air. And at that point, it'll replenish very quickly, because like I said, it replenishes every 10 days. And so we promise we'll stop at that point. But there just isn't enough surface area on Earth.
I hadn't thought about it from that angle, not enough surface area.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think? Do you want to take a little break here and come back and finish talking some more?
Sounds great.